This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Wait to hear his thoughts, Andy, about sitting there and watching his team.
Oh,
that'll be fun.
God.
That's coming up at noon. Joining us now on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline, gentleman who covers the Browns for the Chronicle-Telegram, BrownsZone.com, BrownsZone.com, where you can read all of his work. He joins us every Monday at 11. He is Scott Petrak. Hello, Scott.
Hey, Scotty.
What's going on, guys?
Woo!
It's a new day. And I said last night, Scott, I don't think we can overemphasize this, and I don't think it can be blown out of proportion. You can, it's like bowling. You draw the line, and everything that happened before doesn't really matter. You move forward, and whether or not this organization goes on to great things down the road, I think we can bury everything since 1999 after what happened last night.
I think that's a great comment, Jeff, and I think it speaks to and dovetails with Baker Mayfield talking about setting a new standard, and he doesn't remember all the bad things, and he wasn't old enough, and he wasn't here for that, and Kevin Stefanski it said the same thing, and I think part of that was evident during the Steelers rally last night. I know fans were nervous, and they were thinking all the bad things, but I don't think those thoughts entered the head of Baker Mayfield and other guys on the team because they don't have this baggage as the fan base, and I think it is time to put all that stuff behind. This is a new team. It's a new organization, new coach, new quarterback, and I agree with you. I think that win last night, on top of ending that playoff drought, exercised a whole bunch of demons.
Whew, it definitely did. Yeah, I was going to say this before Jeff brought you in, because we were talking about Kevin Stefanski there for a second. Darren Revelle tweeted last night during the game, "I would pay $19.99 to watch a live feed of Kevin Stefanski's basement." And I just thought that was hysterical last night. Can you even imagine what last night was like for Kevin?
I can't. And I was trying to put myself there thinking about him. I hope he stuck to his idea to not have any sound on, because then he can watch it as a coach, right? He can watch a game, not have any outside perspective invading his thoughts. Because if you're watching that game, you hear Al Michaels and Chris Collinsworth talk about momentum. And they talk about, you know, how the Browns have blown leads in the past. And if you're on Twitter, you know, I mean, How do you not flash back, if you know anything about the Browns' history, how do you not flash back to 2002 and how they blew the big lead in Pittsburgh the last time they were in the playoffs? So I think if you're just watching the game in your own bubble, maybe that those things don't enter your head and you're so focused on scheme and what play Alex Van Pelt's going to call. So I hope you watch it like that, because if you start to let all those other things in, I think it'd be a much more terrifying, that might not be the right word, but much more anxious second half viewing experience. And then, you know, not being able to celebrate with you guys, but then they FaceTime you. The emotions must have been incredible for Stefanski last night.
I can't wait to hear what he says, and that's coming up at noon. Scott Petrak's joining us. Of the many amazing things last night, this one's at the top of the list for me. The offensive line without Betonio, without Conklin for a good portion of the game, and then without Michael Dunn for a portion of the game, and who would have thought we'd be saying that, did not allow a sack of Baker Mayfield. Was that great play by the line? Was it scheme? Was it a little of everything? All I know, Scott, it was really impressive.
There's no doubt about that. And I need to go back and watch it to get a fuller grasp of it, but I think it was all of the above, Jeff. I obviously the players played well. I mean, you don't go sackless without somebody blocking somebody. And Kendall Lamb, you know, the first thing that pops into my mind is the first plays in the game, he gets a holding penalty because J.J. Watt beats him. And then you watch him the next step, and he stops T.J. Watt. And I don't remember T.J. Watt having a big influence after that. So that means Kendall Lamb must have played well. I think the scheme was phenomenal. You know, the Browns spread out the Steelers. I think it made the reads clearer for Baker Mayfield, and he was able to get the ball out of his hands, and that's so important against a pass rush that's the best pass rush in the league. I think you have to give Baker credit for getting the ball out of his hands, for making the quick decisions, and then the plan for Stefanski and Van Pelt. And then you look at that last great play call, the screen to Nick Chubb, when the game's still in the balance. They use that aggressive pass rush against the Steelers, and they catch him and with a great play call, and it goes 40 yards and a touchdown. I just think the plan was great, the execution was great, and you got to cut at the line, and you got to cut at Baker because so many of the sacks fall on a quarterback, and Baker didn't put himself in any danger yesterday.
So one of the things we talked about, Scott, last week, and I think it was with Chris Rose, he said, you realize with Cody Parkey, they're going to have the double doink ready to roll at any point during the game. And I don't know how much more I'll bring this up again, but I'm still dumbfounded by the fact that a kicker that we have not had a whole lot of faith in came through with 6 points last night from field goals and 6 points also from extra points to give him 12. They win by 11. I mean, it's the little things that make a difference in a game like that. And I just confidence-wise for Cody Parkey moving forward, I got to believe this has helped him and helped out the entire team with him.
Oh, certainly. And I think it builds on the finale. He didn't miss a kick in that win over the Steelers, and he had missed whatever it was. I think it was 5 over the previous 4 weeks or 4 over the previous 3 weeks. So these last two games should help him a bunch. That's as difficult a place as there is to kick in the NFL is Heinz Field. And for him to not miss, I think is great moving forward. And I think if you look at the bigger picture, it's contribution from everybody. And it happened all year long. And I've asked Kevin Stefanski about it probably 5 times. Man, you're getting contributions from guys up and down the roster. And it doesn't feel as important when it's, you know, week 4 or week 8. When it's week 18 in the playoffs in Pittsburgh and Michael Dunn plays great, Blake Hantz comes out of nowhere and steps in, MJ Stewart has a second interception in 2 weeks, Porter Gustin makes a diving interception. I mean, that's how you pull off these type of victories, is when you get contributions from guys you're not expecting. And that's the only way you can do it when you're missing some of your studs, like Joel Bitonio, like Denzel Ward, like Olivier Vernon. And it speaks to so many things. It speaks to the players being prepared. It speaks to the coaches getting them prepared. And it speaks to Andrew Berry finding these guys and building depth on this roster. We've talked for years, there's not enough depth, there's not enough depth. Well, it's certainly not that they can't get better and not that there aren't holes to fill, but it certainly looks like Andrew Berry did a great job finding a bunch of depth and a bunch of players that have been huge as the Browns advance to the second round of the playoffs.
I don't think there's any question, Scott. Andrew did a nice job, I'm going to say, finishing off parts of this team. And, you know, you look at the right and left tackle in particular, and then some good one-year contract fits on the defensive side of the ball. But just like I wonder what Kevin Stefanski was thinking watching last night, I wonder what John Dorsey was thinking watching last night. Because John basically built that roster. You know, Andrew finished it off a little bit, but that was Dorsey's football team on the field last night.
Yeah, I think that's pretty accurate, Jeff. I mean, you look at, you know, Baker and Chubb and Hunt and Jarvis, right? I mean, those are all Dorsey guys. So, yeah, you can't ignore what he did. You know, and it's probably a three-step process. You know, Sashi Brown started it. Miles Garrett was a Sashi guy. John Dorsey did a lot of the heavy lifting. And then Andrew Berry finished it off. But I mean, I don't think you can downplay what Andrew Berry did. Jack Conklin, Jedrick Wills, you know, you could go through the list, but
right.
There's no denying the John Dorsey impact, and I think we're going to talk and write about it plenty this week, given that he did a lot to build that Chiefs team. Right?
Sure did.
He won the Super Bowl, and the Browns are going to go play. I mean, this is a John Dorsey game with a bunch of guys that John Dorsey identified, and I think that's interesting, and I think it's got to be, it's got to be tough for John to, be watching that.
Just adding on the offensive line, I mean, think about the fact that I don't remember them calling Cam Hayward's name at all. What, he had one tackle last night? And in essence, the guys that didn't make the trip over the week before should have had a bigger impact than last night's game, and they didn't. I mean, Ben didn't make the trip over. Maurice Pouncey, a big mistake there. Cam Hayward was, like, non-existent. T.J. Watt had moments, but I wonder – you know, when Mike Tomlin looks back at this game and thinks, wow, I should have went for it on 4th-and-1, and maybe I shouldn't have rested those guys the week before, or at least brought them over. I wonder if that's what, in Steelers lore, they're going to go back and look at it. At least I'm sure that's what people are complaining about on Steelers radio in Pittsburgh.
Yeah, I could definitely see that. That 4th-and-1 punt was mind-boggling. I mean, that didn't make any sense at all. And you'd watch the Titans punt on 4th-and-2 early in the day, which made no sense. And then, I didn't fault Mike Tomlin for resting those guys. You know, you can't get your guys hurt in the final week. It doesn't really matter. But I think you can make the argument that none of those guys played well. And I think it speaks to how the Steelers played coming down the stretch. I kept thinking, okay, the real Steelers were 11-0. The real Steelers were the second-half team against the Colts, right? The real Steelers were the team that's dominated the Browns for years, but that's not who they were yesterday, and that's probably not who they are anymore. I know Ben threw for 501, but he didn't look like Ben, especially early. That terrible interception that MJ Stewart got, it just didn't look like Ben. And the Steelers were missing a couple of key guys, but you're right, Andy. I mean, Cam Hayward, I thought he was going to dominate. It's Michael Dunn. The guy's played one offensive snap in his career. Right? Stewart, Tuitt, Alualu. I mean, those are all big name guys for the Steelers. And for them not to have the impact, it says something about the Steelers, but it also says a whole lot about the Browns and their desire and their motivation and their belief.
Scott, I'm afraid about Jack Conklin's hamstring injury.
Yeah, I would be too. You know, the way he went down didn't look good. Mm-mm. The fact that he didn't come back in. And it's a playoff game, didn't look good. Obviously offensive linemen have to run like, your corners and your receivers, but I'd be worried about that. I think it's highly questionable whether he can play next week, and that's a big loss. I mean, he's a first-team All-Pro guy. Now, Kendall Lamb has experience and has started games at tackle, but he's not Jack Conklin. And this is another time where you wish Chris Hubbard hadn't been lost for the season with that knee injury, because Hubbard would be in there, and they like Hubbard better than Lamb, right? Because he was ahead of him on the depth chart.
We'll see who comes back too, from the COVID list and other things. Fingers crossed about Denzel Ward.
Yep.
Yeah, he's huge, and obviously the Browns got past the Steelers without him, but the Chiefs throw the ball all over the field, right? How do you plan to stop Tyreek Hill without Denzel Ward? Even with Denzel Ward, that's a huge challenge.
Sure.
So you hope Ward comes back. You hope he comes back in time to practice, right? Because you can't just activate him on Friday and say, okay, go play Patrick Mahomes and Tyreek Hill. I mean, that's just too much to ask. So ideally he gets back, he gets a full week of practicing, gets his feet underneath him, is feeling okay, right, after COVID. He obviously had symptoms or else he would have been back yesterday. So they need him. Obviously, Joel Bitonio would help, especially with the law, if Conklin can't play. And then hopefully you get some of your coaches back. You get Bill Callahan, you get Kevin Stefanski. All those things would help, and I think would give another boost to a team that's riding high.
Scott, thank you. We'll listen for you on Kevin Stefanski's Zoom call coming up at noon.
Sounds great. Thanks.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. Audacy. Download it today.